Hello, welcome to 251, two pianists, 5 minutes, one subject. And the subject of today's podcast is the Spike Lee film Mo Better Blues. My name's Nick Tomlin.
And my name's Simon Whiteside, and this is 251. So Spike Lee is the well-known director, well-known to us now, but in his early films he was quite a art film director, I guess you'd call him. And Mo Better Blues is not that far into his oeuvre. I think it's possibly his third film, released in 1990. And it's about a jazz band and their life, but it's not really about that in many ways. However, it does have a very good jazz score with music by the Branford Marsalis quartet, including adding Terence Blanchard as the trumpeter, and also quite a lot of use of tracks, which we'll talk about, no doubt. The film is loosely about the trumpeter of the band, played by Denzel Washington, and he has a kind of journey from being very focused on music to not being so focused on music by the end, for reasons which we will talk about. For me, it's as a film studies person, I find the film's language very interesting, and there's some very good Spike Lee's really developing his visual language by this point, and he uses lips as an image, kind of almost like a metaphor stroke leitmotif. And when Denzel Washington, for example, is feeling a bit under pressure, either because he's being ragged on by a girlfriend or something, he'll often touch his lips in a kind of nervous way. And of course, the whole film is, if you're a trumpeter, your lips are very important, and we'll come on to how that makes that makes a big plot issue. And he also uses red and blue. So Denzel Washington has two girlfriends, and one is represented in a way by red and one by blue. And at one point, they both wear a red dress, and it's a sort of that's where the first collision of those two people comes, and it becomes quite a big issue for his in his life, and a turning point in a way. Have you got any points you'd like to make before I ramble on further?
Well, I mean, I watched it for the first time like 2 nights ago. I'd sort of seen clips from it. I hadn't seen the whole film. And yeah, I mean, it was. I sort of had mixed reactions to it. There was a lot of stuff I liked. I mean, I thought the main performances were really good. I mean, Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes plays the saxophonist. The performances are great, and the music obviously is really good. I really liked the backstage banter, the stuff. I felt almost improvised, that some of that stuff, backstage when they're kind of teasing each other. And I think this is very accurate way, the way that bands kind of interact. Things I was a little bit less enamored of was they were supposed to be kind of Jewish club owners who are kind of presented it in this quite negative way, and I think he actually got a little bit of flack at the time for that, for this kind of anti-Semitic kind of stereotyping of these characters, and the two female characters I thought were a little bit kind of underwritten, a bit kind of stereotyped, but on the whole, I mean, I enjoyed it, and it's a really well made film, and it's entertaining. I thought the ending was a bit kind of rushed, because as you said, it is kind of a journey, and after maybe I won't say any spoilers, but after there's a kind of an incident towards the end, and then the last part of the film seems a little bit rushed. That was my only sort of thought, really.
Spike Lee does go through a montage sequence to get you to the end very quickly.
Yes, yes.
And the interesting thing is the moment you're talking about is called the inciting incident in film theory, and it happens very late in the film.
Yeah.
It's almost like a three-hour film that's cut down
to
2 hours. Yeah,
that was my feeling, yeah.
Well, we've run out of time to talk about this now, but there is a lot more to talk about. We maybe come back to this another time. My name's Simon Whiteside. Goodbye.
My name's Nick Tomlin. Goodbye.